working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your tongue. We got to install microwave.
Well, you got to do that if you want the hot food. Custom kitchens are handy as well if you can afford it. Just remove that refrigerator. Whitey, can you just move that colour TV, please? Mark Knopfler's telling us we need to do that. What a song.
What a band.
What a band. Dire Straits, of course. Money for Nothing. This was big. This was very, very big.
This is the first concert I ever went to.
Dire Straits?
Yep. With my mum.
Really?
Yep.
That's a good stat.
Yep.
I'm happy with that from you.
Yep, that was the first one I ever went to. Mm.
So how's your contrast between you and I? Your first concert was Dire Straits. My first concert was Kylie Minogue. Mark Stevens joins us on a Friday morning. Good morning, Steve.
I'm not sure what's lamer, to be honest.
The brother. Whoa.
Hey, whoa.
We're talking two iconic musical acts on the planet.
Rocky. I mean, Brothers in Arms. Lame. It's like a lot of ballads and stuff.
What was your first concert?
Tears for Fears.
Oh! Give us a spell.
In August 85. But this was 85.
Dire Straits lame.
No, I just don't rate. I like this song, but it's not rocky enough for me. A lot of it just...
Well, Tears for Fears weren't exactly Metallica or Megadeth.
No, I know. Have you ever listened to
or
Dire Straits?
Or Pantera?
Yeah, I have. I'm just not a fan. I like this song, and there's a special guest on this too. Sting's on this one.
Is he?
Yep. Does a bit of backing. So, no, it was a good song. Great. This was one of the iconic MTV film clips.
Yeah, my word it was. I reckon it launched almost MTV.
It did.
Yeah. This was the one that put MTV on the map. This Rambo, what was your first concert?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I think you win.
At the Glass House.
At the Glass House. That's where Kylie was.
I reckon I was 13 or 14. Caught the train from Dandenong and off we went.
Chili Willies, nice work.
Mm. They're coming back playing Marvel in March.
We'll be absolutely going to that.
Chili's?
Yep.
Yeah. Sold out, I believe. Rammer, no doubt, will be in a corporate box.
We'll be there.
Good for you. Now, Mark's having a birthday today. The Scottish musician and singer, lead singer of Dire Straits. I'd like to know, he's born in Glasgow, Scotland, just for those playing at home. Now, I'd like to know from you, Adam Romanescu.
No, we're going to start with Whitey because it was his first concert.
Oh, that's true. That's fair.
I'm going to go with 73.
73, righto. What's your name, Steve-O?
Yeah, he looked old even in 85, didn't he? He was an old head on him, Mark.
Yeah, he's the Digby Morell of the music world.
Yeah, exactly. What I was deceiving. It had a lot to do with the hair.
Yeah.
Digby Morell.
He was in trouble early.
Morning, Diggers.
But I think he's older than that. I'm saying 78.
78?
I'll go in the middle. I'm going to hit 75.
All right, two of you are in the window. One of you is on the button. And I'm really pleased and chuffed that it's M.N. Adam White. 73 years today.
Yeah.
He's a connoisseur of all things Dire Straits.
Was that at the Showgrounds, that tour?
The Showgrounds?
I can't tell you that.
Whitey can't remember. What? You went to your first concert and you cannot remember where it was.
You don't know where it was.
I remember the cassette was like a light blue.
It had a guitar on it.
It's got nothing to do with the concert. Yeah, how do you not know where the concert was?
Well, I went twice. I know one of them was at...
You were in the same venue.
This is where Woodstock area is. What, you can't remember?
Street, on every street. It must have been Glasshouse.
You and your mum went on the
Because on every street was at Rod Laver Arena. Back then it was Flinders Park.
I think it was at the Showgrounds, Whitey. At that stage, a lot of the big bands were playing there. Springsteen, I think, played Showgrounds for the Born in the USA tour. He can't remember where it... I love how you're telling him where it was. Yeah.
And you weren't even there.
No, but I remember where the... I can't remember where my car keys are now, but I remember where the big concerts were in the mid-80s.
You and your mum weren't... There's no hoochie-cooch going on back then. Just a,
in the car. Sort
Woodstock.
In the car. Sort of Woodstock style, so you couldn't remember.
No.
Such an innocent response.
I'm at a loss. Because everything after 1988 was at Rod Laver.
Yeah, but that was in 1980
before then.
Whitey, that was 1985. So how old were you then?
Eight.
Right,
maybe seven.
That's a young concert experience.
That's a young concert experience.
My mum really exposed me to music.
First concert was Tool off the SMS. That's hardcore. First concert was Elton John at the G. First concert, Captain Matchbox.
I'll ask my mum. She's at Kangaroo Island.
Adelaide 1975, says Phil.
Can your mum text in with
She's at Kangaroo Island. I don't think they've got reception.
Is she Kangaroo Island?
Yeah, mum and dad have gone there.
Playing golf?
They had to catch a ferry. And it was too choppy to go, so I had to wait 4 hours. Dad was petrified. Let's get a capsize.
There's a surprise. There's a surprise. Other birthdays today, Karl Stefanovic. Is he on today? Is he on? Channel 9?
Yeah.
He's having a birthday today. He's 48. Arj Barker, comedian. Many people know him. 48 today. Casey Affleck, brother of Ben. Well, it was in Good Will Hunting, Ocean's 11. He's 47 today.
Good Will Hunting, the best movie of all time.
Ocean's 11.
Warren from Vermont.
It's not your fault.
Warren from Vermont says it was Olympic Park. So the glass house for Dire Straits. There you go.
Nice work.
With the green seats.
Yes.
Toby Nankervis, the skipper of the Tigers, is 28 today. Happy birthday to the big Nank. And there's someone else that we needed to. Oh, Tyson Fury is having a birthday today. The Gypsy King.
And he is boxing again.
Is he?
Yes.
He's 34 today. Pete Sampras, legend of tennis, is 51 today. David Lee Friedman is having a birthday today too. Hall of Fame trainer is 66. Happy birthday
66.
To Lee. 66? Yeah. He is. Steve-O.
Yeah, Huff.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Again. Of course, the Crips is the big story, isn't it, as you've touched on, and the Owl. As you mentioned briefly, Huff, 4.5 hours, which is a world record. It was more than a marathon. It was two marathons.
They deliberated for 2.5.
They deliberated for that long, and sitting there last night just following it, the longer it went, the more chance you thought Crips had had. So
absolutely.
They would have spent a lot of time coming up with their reasonings. You'd think they would have made the decision, you know, reasonably quickly, and then it's all about the reasoning. So, as Rama said, they argued it was infected with error. In the end, it came down to this appeals tribunal not agreeing that it wasn't a bump.
Yeah, well,
they said, well,
it was the only way it was
going
to get off.
Well, this just quickly, Steve-O, so we were unable to conclude on the basis of the vision of these videos that he did. That he did turn his body into a classic bumping position.
So basically they've thrown out the whole case from the tribunal. So you've got different people looking at it. So the chairman, Murray Callum, he also had a crack at Jeff Gleeson, the tribunal chairman, who I've got to say is the most meticulous, impressive legal person that I've ever witnessed.
The chairman or he's the prosecutor?
No, he's now the chairman.
Is he?
So he's changed roles.
He's jumped ship.
He used to be the prosecutor, so he's changed role. But he's super impressive, Jeff Gleeson. So what Carlton was saying is that he never raised the notion of a bump as an issue or something to even debate with the tribunal. Normally they'd say, look, you have to decide, guys, when you go out, you know, was it a bump or wasn't it a bump? That didn't come up. So basically what Carlton's saying is it should have been raised as an issue and they should have been briefed on that publicly before they went in. So he didn't direct the tribunal on that issue, which is a real slap for Jeff Gleeson.
Cop that.
Cop that. So,
cop that, Jeffrey.
And I reckon Jeff Gleeson would wake up pretty flat today.
Well,
super
no one,
QC. Like, he is Superman.
No one wants to get a decision overturned quite like this. Well, any decision overturned, but this is a fairly high-profile one, so they'd be disappointed. But if they've made an error, as judged by the appeals panel, then sometimes it happens. So,
yeah, I just think people inside the AFL will be waking up this morning scratching their heads a little bit because...
Do you reckon? I don't know.
Yeah,
Rammer,
I think so.
Well,
it's one of those ones. The appeal process has worked in this case, but... The head's sacrosanct, as we know. So it's one of those grey areas.
No, but there's still incidental contact as part of contesting football. That still happens. So we need... And this was the thing we spoke about on Monday, Steve-O. And Rami, you were going to bring this up before. That it really was, depending on who you asked, it really was a fine margins case either way.
Yeah. Well, we said
that
two
was either,
or nothing.
He was either, it's exactly right. So two or nothing. So we got that. We got two and then we got nothing. So I think we sort of knew that we were working in shadows here a bit. We were grey. Yeah. Lots of really dark grey here because of the incident. And I'm still staggered that every single week, it seems, we are given examples of incidents from the MRA perspective or the tribunal perspective that we haven't seen before, rarely see, that put the game into such grey.
Yep.
Despite the fact that we try and make it
black and white. You don't think there's grey?
I thought he should have been suspended.
Yeah, but we don't. No. So it's 2-2.
Okay.
So
no, I can see why he got off.
This is the thing.
I can see why he got off to a point, but I think we've seen plenty of cases where we're conditioned that's 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I disagree with that, but we end up where we end up with that. So
okay,
Crips is free to play.
Hang on, I just want to ask one last question on that. So if Callum Archie continued to play after that, are you still thinking that's 2 weeks?
Yeah, because, you can't say that.
Why not?
Because the impact would not have been seen as high. It would have been seen
But you're still classifying that as a bump.
I think it was a...
That's...
All
you're looking at is the outcome.
No, I'm not looking at it as an outcome.
Well,
my belief was that Patrick Cripps went in and to create a collision, a bump. That was what I believed.
Well, he was always going to collide with him because the ball was in dispute.
Yeah, but that's not my point. My point is that his first, in my view, he wasn't necessarily trying to contest the ball. He was trying to bump Elche out of the way. Now that's I'm not
opposite.
That's
opinion
right. I'm not
there.
Massively
fine.
Strong
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. There is an element of, you know, it could go either way. But I think we've been conditioned into that being a suspension.
Yeah, I think he went in to create some chaos.
That's right. I agree.
Sometimes when you create chaos,
it's not intentional. It's reckless, or it's negligent, or it's careless.
You pay for the ramifications. So I think he's a bit lucky, and I think Gil McLaughlin would be scratching his head a little bit.
I just reckon it's too grey. It's too grey to be emotional either way, I reckon.
Yeah.
It was always going to be that situation of, could sort of see why he gets suspended, could sort of see why he wouldn't, depending on which camp you were.
So it's a huge win for the Bulls.
See, I've stopped caring. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah,
so
stop trying to guess.
I'm not getting emotional about it because it's like, whatever, because you just never know.
But I just think we're dealing with such fine margins in these cases, a lot of these cases. Like nothing's, for whatever reason, there's very few clear-cut ones.
Yeah, that's right.
For whatever, I don't understand it, I must admit.
Less is Barry Hall and Brent Staker.
Well, that's pretty straightforward. Yeah. I can help you out with there. Lots of first concerts coming through too, just by the way. We'll get to that shortly.
It's a good talking point, first concerts. Has the owl ever been to a concert?
I was too busy eating other birds.
Radio Birdman, I think.
Thank you for asking, Steve-o. First concert for me, Michael Jackson at the MCG.
That's just showing off.
Okay.
Showing off. Yeah. What tour was that?
Bad tour?
Couldn't afford.
No, it was after Bad.
Couldn't afford Michael Jackson.
I heard there was bad audio there that night.
Was there?
Yeah.
The G's not great audio. It bounces back off the southern stand, I find, half.
The Shane Warne stand, you mean?
They need a bit of padding on the back walls, do they?
But we'll straighten up again. Alistair Clarkson, I tell you what, if you're a North fan, you're getting pretty excited. I reckon it'll be announced next week. Middle of next week, they'll pick a nice day, maybe a Wednesday. There's a little bit of clear air. So
wouldn't they wait till after the last game in respect for Lee Adams and all that sort of stuff?
Not necessarily, Whitey. When it's done,
Well, if it's made... If the decision is made, chances are it's not going to hold for that.
True.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, this is a good story by Jay Clark, Clarko drove up to Todd Viney's country property just to sound him out whether he'd want to be a football director. Now, Todd Viney, a ripping bloke, obviously father of Jack Viney, worked with Clarko 2005 to 2008 at Hawthorn.
He did.
It was the real start of the generation at Hawthorn. So one of the flags that Viney was there, Todd Viney, so they're close friends. What I've got to say, half, is that knowing Todd Viney pretty well, he ain't moving to Sydney. He's not moving to GWS. So I'd be thinking that Clarko's getting him there to take him to North Melbourne because Todd Viney's not the type of guy that's moving to Parramatta.
Suggestion.
He'd be staying in Victoria, country Victoria, or in Melbourne, where his family is.
Well, country Victoria's not a great place to be coaching the Kangaroos from, but or a part of the
Well, he can keep his Kangaroos. Country property, obviously.
Well, he said football director.
Yeah,
so it seems
you need to be on tight.
Clarko's knocking on the door.
Football director.
Yes, that's what Stevens.
So instead of Anthony Stevens or...
No, it's like a...
That's what you said, football. So
yeah, like a coaching director type.
Or coaching
no,
director.
No,
that's
you
different.
Know, like a...
Head
like a coaching head of football. Like a
head
Chris,
of performance
Chris Grant
sort of
at the
thing.
Bulldogs is not at on the board, similar to that.
Well, he's GM of football.
It's slightly a bit different, director term.
You mean like Rocket was at Collingwood? Something like that?
Something like that.
So he's not on the board?
No, not on the board.
So he's there Monday to Friday.
It's a day-to-day job.
Yeah, day-to-day job.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get to.
Well, when he said football director, I assume he was talking about the board.
Football, that's probably...
Well, they use different terminology, but you'd think that that's a good sign.
Anthony Stevens might need to know about this if he's going to get the boot, that's all.
He's going to a lot of his former Hawthorn assistants, isn't he?
Yeah, David Rath has been mooted.
Brendan Bolton's name's been put out there.
Leon Cameron,
definitely.
And Joey Mantegna is one that's been floated.
Well, Joey's got a very, very sharp football
mind. Joey is sharp, full stop.
Yeah, so I think if you're a North fan, look, I'm getting a lot of texts from North people, when is it there? The things are up and about. Certainly it's pointing, you think, in that direction. So, as I said, Viney's not moving to the GWS. Jason Horne-Francis is an interesting one, half.
What's happened?
Dropped again. Now, he was going home, first time, play at Adelaide Oval, North versus Adelaide, with his family. Play in front of his mates, his schoolmates, everything, a bit of a celebration. So he had 13 touches last week, 18 and 5, which is not the worst game around. But North are
Can you say that again?
He had 13, 8 and 5. Yeah. So, sorry, Whitey. I know you like your stats
numbers,
and numbers.
Man,
he'll have
numbers.
All his numbers written down.
Don't mess with his numbers, mate.
18 and 5's not really too close to 13, that's all.
That's all right, Whitey. Just leave the news to me, mate. You sit back there in your in your petrol blue jumper. But it's interesting, isn't it? Like
selection integrity, I like it.
Why do you like? Surely you're in a dead rubber. You'd be keeping your number one pick happy.
No, I don't think so. I think you've got to set a culture.
Well, Rammer's raising his eyebrows here. I mean, what's it mean for the future of Jason Horne Francis? Because he wouldn't be that happy.
Well, we'll see.
They're clearly playing a dangerous game.
Selection integrity.
The difference here, though, Half, is that Lee Adams isn't going to be the coach. So are they fighting fire with fire a little bit because, you know, what would, if it is that Alistair Clarkson is the coach, is he sitting going, hang on a sec, don't put this guy in jeopardy of leaving the footy club. I want to shape him. I want to cajole him. No. I want to make him the player that he could be. Or
it's
is
not
this...
even an emergency either. I would think
this is above, with due respect to Patch, I would think this is a much broader conversation from football department and
I would have thought so.
List managers and...
Yeah. It must be an attitude thing.
Almost footy director sort of stuff. Because of the situation, you've got an interim coach who's not going to be there. They can't be just throwing babies out with bathwaters. You can't be just blowing things up on the way out. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So that element of control, I'm sure, is put into a senior person's hands.
So this becomes a bit of a... If that's correct, that's a serious issue they've got then. If it's going that high, for him to be dropped.
We'll have a chat to Boomer about it after 7:30.
That'll be interesting.
What he wants to talk about, I reckon.
Yeah, it must be attitudinal, Half, more than just form, because he's shown
driven home.
Green shoots. And as a number one pick, you want to play him in the last two games. So, look, finish off the year strongly, give yourself some impetus for the pre-season.
But if he's not living up to the values or the expectations, then you have to make it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not sure it's kicks and handballs.
Yeah, you're right. I think Whitey's got onto something there. Obviously, on Monday, the AFL Commission's meeting, TV rights and Tassie on the agenda. So things just moving away from Tassie a little bit.
Comments from Gil McLaughlin.
What Gil
last
say?
Night, violently opposed to some clubs for Tasmania coming in. That's a very strong term. Violently opposed.
I, for the life of me, I still can't work out why clubs have a say.
Mm. Like, that should be a commission decision.
It's a commission decision. Exactly.
It's a traditional way.
It's got
of doing
nothing
it.
To do with the clubs. Mm. Now it might affect their funding model down the track for a little while. But
it does affect funding.
Yeah, but that's fine. But you've got to have, if you've got a commission of the game, your job, your charter is to look ahead and keep the growth of the game as the main.
Unassisted AFL clubs are paying other clubs to exist. So
that's been happening for years. So
that adds again. You're paying more again.
Bad luck. Yeah.
They have to have a say.
Or your distribution is taken away.
Footy's all about the clubs.
I think Tasmania should have a team.
Yeah, but if you're the commissioner...
The funding model that they use, that's what gets clubs scratching their heads.
You're charged with growing the game and making sure it's the preeminent game in the country and doing whatever it takes to make that happen. Mm. The inclusion of a team in Tasmania, seemingly, according to the business cases, is something that should be happening for the growth of the game. Now, the existing clubs, while they might lose $1 million here and there... Bad luck. It's not about you. It's about the game.
Their opinion is skewed. It's about how it affects them as opposed to
how it affects their bottom line.
So you either respect the commission for what it is, or you just disband it and just not have it. Yeah. And just give the club presidents to run the league.
No, I liken it to the Senate, Half. They're there as a backdrop to sort of keep an eye on what the commission is saying. And a decision's this big, I think the clubs should have a say. And just finally, Dusty won't be back until the finals. We kind of expected that, but that's now official, Half. So.
Righto, first concert, Joe Cocker at Festival Hall, Steve-O. Area 7 at the Hi-Fi Bar.
Higher than Joe Cocker. Bar. Right, where was your first concert? Where was Kylie?
No, I think she was at Glasshouse. Yeah, Bon Jovi at Olympic Park.
Good one.
In Excess at Rest Point Casino.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
Black Eyed Peas was the first one. Ike and Tina Turner. Oh, there you're talking.
The best.
Billy Joel at Tennis Centre. Radio Star kicked off USA MTV. Thank you very much. Video killed the Radio Star, sorry. And what do we got? Got other concerts that are pumping in. We do have pages of them. We do. I can't get through them all. So I won't. I'll get to the break. Jimmy Dalton's going to join us from Geelong as we head there for the early mail after this. Metallica 89. New beauty.